Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Fred Sinn is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Fred is a member of our Brain Trust. He's been with us a number of times before. He's the co-author, along with Pat Fallon, of the outstanding book, Juicing the Orange, How to Turn Creativity into a Powerful Business Advantage. And he's our good friend. Fred, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, folks, he's a founder partner of Fallon Worldwide, and he's been in marketing now for how many decades, Fred?
Five.
You know, you and I are at the age where we no longer talk about it's actually a lower number to talk about the decades that we've been doing this than it is to talk about the years, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Still frightening, though, isn't it?
It is. You know, I don't mind how old I am. What's kind of tearing me up is the age of my children. That's what's getting me.
And grandchildren. I've got the third level going.
Yeah, me too. But my grandchildren are still young, so thank God I don't have that to worry about. Fred, here's a question. I love how you guys talk about creativity in your book. And one of the most creative things I've ever seen are the caveman commercials.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes,
and you know, Geico's got one, FedEx has got one. Has the caveman thing been run out? I'd like to do a caveman commercial for my company. Is it too late to get on that bandwagon?
You know, I don't think it is. Not yet. Geico was the first one to do it, and they're doing it as a theme.
They're the funniest things you've ever seen, aren't they?
Aren't they? It's
I like the one where the guy's
metrosexual.
Yeah, I like the one where the guy's in his therapist's office. That's pretty funny.
Absolutely. Yeah, but they built it up almost like a TV comedy series, so that all of us are in on the joke.
Well, I understand they're actually going to have a series. I heard Warren Buffett say that there were some people interested in making a series out of it. By the way, Warren did announce this week that the gecko is pretty ticked about the time that the cavemen are getting. It's taken away from his time.
I think he's pretty happy with that campaign. It's working for him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's a wonderful example of creativity, isn't it?
Well, it's more than meets the eye, Jim. Actually, they're spending about $430 million in advertising.
That's a little above my budget there.
That's above everybody's budget in the insurance category. The reason they're doing that is they are selling direct over the Internet.
So right.
It's the business model that gives them the ability to spend that kind of money. And then the Martin Agency in Virginia has done a great job with the advertising. So we're sitting here talking about it, but we're not talking about other companies that are spending nearly the same amount and not getting the creative impact.
They can't break through. What's an example of that?
Progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Good company out there, direct competitor. And we're sitting here talking about the cavemen.
Right.
So that's an example where somebody has broken through creatively. They're now getting what we call creative leverage because you and I are talking about it.
It's the viral effect.
The viral effect is, and there's no media bills for that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
For Geico. So.
No, we don't send them a bill for that at all, do we?
Exactly.
They're getting free advertising.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that I like to talk about is the low-hanging fruit effect of creativity for small businesses. It's really there, isn't it?
Small business has such an advantage because the entrepreneurs are much more nimble than their big competitors. And what they should be doing, and I hope every small business is doing, is experimenting, especially with the Internet, every year.
Uh-huh.
Just taking a little bit of money and trying something. We got to try and learn.
What would be an example of an experiment?
Well, try ads that drive people to your website and see if when you run those ads, your website traffic jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And keep on trying to use your traditional advertising media to drive people to that website where you can really engage them and move them along. It's wrong to think that a television ad, for example, can transfer too much content information it's really appearing in an entertainment media.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can get people to that website, you can start to create customers.
Well, exactly. And you know, folks, one of the things I like to point out too, Fred, is that you don't have to be the most creative person on your team. You can hire a lot of creativity without a lot of money, can't you?
Not only can you hire it, but you can enable it in your own firm.
And when I say hire, I also mean you can rent it. You don't even have to own it.
Right. There's people out there that come in and think. And when entrepreneurs do that, they have to make sure that the creative people that they bring in understand the business problem they are trying to solve and understand enough about the small business so that they don't waste each other's time.
Mm-hmm.
Too often we get somebody in and say, give us a big advertising idea.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe it's a pricing or distribution problem we got to solve.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is when you bring someone in, let them ask you questions. Don't tell them what you want, maybe, necessarily.
Absolutely. Let there be a diagnostic phase where they start to understand what is the real business problem in terms of revenues, margins, that they've been brought in to solve. They weren't brought in to write a clever ad.
Right. And, you know, you're so right about that, Fred, because when I was doing consulting full-time years ago for small businesses, they would call me and say, I've got this problem. And I'd go in and I'd find out that wasn't the problem. That wasn't the disease. That was the symptom. The disease was something else.
Yeah. When Pat and I wrote this book, we backed up and looked at what had worked for our clients. And two of the principles were back up and make sure you're solving the right problem. Start from scratch. That was the first one. The second one was simplify it. Once you find what the problem is, really be a relentless reductionist and simplify it down to something that you can solve and that people can understand.
I like the Occam's razor approach, don't you? The simplest explanation, the simplest solution is usually the best one.
Right. Another one of the guy in your brain trust, I think, is that Albert Einstein guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And he says, make things as simple as possible, but no simpler.
I like that. I haven't heard him say that on my show before.
Haven't you? I thought that on your show.
I'll have to get the two of you to get on together sometime.
Right.
He's been on, but also, we also have President Abraham Lincoln's been on our show before, by the way.
Has he really?
Oh, yeah. He's also a member of our brain trust.
You need some young people.
That's right. Exactly. Stand by, Fred. We're going to take a quick break. By the way, Fred knew all those guys, by the way. Fred Sen, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of Juicing the Orange. When we come back, I want to talk about what Fred calls the outsmart principle. He uses that outsmart word a lot. We're going to get him to tell us what that means and how we can use it in our small businesses. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's Stevie Dan to take us out. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Fred Sen, the co-author of the outstanding book, Juicing the Orange. Folks, if you'd like to get more out of your creative juices than you ever thought possible, and not only will it not hurt, it might actually feel good, and it probably won't cost you any money. In fact, well, it'll cost you a little bit because you got to buy the book. But it's a good deal. It's a good value, and you could buy this. But what is it, Fred? Is it $26.95 minus the discount? You probably
go to Amazon.com and get it for about $17. That's
for 17,
less than you spend for a good bottle of wine.
For $17, folks, you could maybe get a $1 million idea out of this book. It's possible. And one of the reasons why is because in your book, Fred, you talk about what I'm calling you use the word outsmart, but I'm calling it the Fred Sen outsmart principle. And talk to us about the ways you use the concept. This was basically the fundamental that you and your partner, Pat Fallon, used to found your company, Fallon Worldwide, isn't it?
Right. Well, when we started way back in 1981, the idea that businesses had was that you had to outspend your competitor media-wise. It was called share of voice.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, we don't think it's about the money you invest. We think it's about the creativity you invest to outsmart. So it's better to outsmart rather than outspend. So most of our clients over the years have been people who were not the biggest spenders in the category. And we would try to raise their level of brand rapport. It's a better word than awareness. It's how people feel about your brand.
Mm-hmm.
to a higher level than the competitor by simply working hard on the creative leverage.
See, I like love better than rapport. I like brand love.
Well, yeah, it's got to be something that your best customers are enthusiastically telling others about you. It's not about satisfied customers. It's about those who become apostles for you.
That's when the dollars come and play in your backyard, isn't it?
That's exactly right.
What are some examples that you know of like that? One of them, even though they spend a lot of money, is the Geico caveman thing. And the Gecko, by the way, the Gecko I've told the Gecko story many times. But what are some other examples of outsmarting rather than outspending?
If you think about Holiday Inn Express in the mid-priced hotel category, primarily for business people, people like the ones that are listening to your show, they came a little bit late to the category. Marriott Courtyard was already out there, and we found out that business travelers just feel savvy about saving money where they can save it. So we came up with this campaign that was about, I may not have been a radio talk show host, but I did stay at Holiday Inn Express.
Your program?
Yes, it was, sir.
Wow, I didn't know that.
If you talk about...
You know, I've always been impressed with you, Fred, but boy, my impress meter just went off the chart there.
Well, now, I didn't come up with this idea. I'm like a sports reporter. I happened to be watching the game when it happened. But
it happened. It happened on your watch, though, didn't it?
Right.
There at Fallon Worldwide.
It's been going gangbusters, and it's a very good example of how we found something that was true about the target market, you know, the road warriors, and how they felt about travel. And we used a humorous way to use that in advertising. Jim, that's been going on for about 8 years.
I know it.
And we look at the numbers, which is revenue per room available from Holiday Inn franchisees, and it continues to beat the competitive average and continues to grow. And they've gone from 830 franchises when we started this program to about 1,350 now. They have got momentum.
But, though, Fred, before we have to wrap it up, I want to point out that we keep using these big business examples, but there's not anything that they've done that a small business can't do, is it?
No, and they took a category advantage and found an emotional way to talk about it. Marriott Courtyard could have done that.
Uh-huh.
So a small business is playing in exactly the same idea category and can find those kinds of ideas that will work. I just talked to a friend of mine who runs a tennis shop last night, and he's getting everything he can out of the square footage of his store, and he's starting an online store right now. Pretty ambitious, but it's all about...
Well, how about this? You know, I'm just thinking about, a steakhouse, a local small steakhouse. You know, our steaks aren't the cheapest, but our memories are the most valuable. I don't know, something that really, you know, you could use a brand promise, you could use something that people can carry away with them. And when someone says, where should I take my wife for my anniversary, they say, oh, listen, you know, this place over here has got the food's good, the memories are better, or something like that.
Exactly. You can.
There's no reason why small business owners can't be that have that kind of creativity.
They are. They don't have as good a way to share their creative ideas. They don't have the good.
They don't have the budget.
That's why you're doing such a service for small business people, is creating that best practice network.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very important. I constantly encourage small business owners to realize that they have brands, that they can dominate with those brands, and that there's no reason why they can't come up with creative ways to get their brand populated around in their marketplace. They don't have to conquer the world. All they have to do is conquer Sheboygan.
Yep, conquer the people that are trying them right now.
Exactly. Fred, give us your website, please.
Our website, the website for the book is juicingtheorange.com.
Juicingtheorange.com. That's the name of the book, folks. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Fred.
And that's a good website to start. And then you can jump to Fallon.com if you're more interested in the company.
And the book's available wherever books are sold, right?
Wherever books are sold.
Fred Senn, S-E-N-N. He's co-author along with Pat Fallon of this outstanding book. Thanks, Fred, for being here. Good job today. We'll see
you next time.
Quick break. Right back with another good buddy of ours, Dave Anderson. Right after these messages, 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.